Matthew chapter 8, familiar portion we want to consider today. As I said, I was struggling this week with my voice, losing my voice and a sore throat, and I just hope today that it will hold out and hope that we will benefit from this passage as we turn to Matthew chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 23. Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he, Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them and herd of swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. May the Lord bless the reading of his word today. Can we take some time just to bow our heads in prayer? Still our hearts now as we come to the word of God. Pray for insight. Pray for the Lord to open up the passage to you. Give you a word in season, a word to meet your need even this day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before thee this morning hour, that we are thankful that we can come before thy presence this day with singing, with rejoicing. The Lord is great, high and lifted up. And yet he looks down upon the lowly and has respect unto us. He condescends to meet our needs. Lord, we stand in great need today. We are weak, weak saints. We often faint. We lose courage. We lose sight of the goal. We lose our way. We become distressed, overwhelmed, anxious. And we pray, Lord, that we would, in these moments, fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We would consider him, his glorious power, his ability to save. We're thankful for so great salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ would come down to redeem our lives from corruption, lifting us from the fearful pit of corruption, the place of harm and destruction, the place of misery. We found ourselves in sin's bondage, and yet God, reaching down, lifts us up and sets our feet upon solid ground, upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Lord, we're thankful that we, as believers, have a sure foundation, and we pray today that our hearts would be at rest. We would know that quieting of our souls. Speak that word of peace to us, Lord. There may be those here who are in great distress, troubled in mind, in body, in heart. We pray, Lord, that you would come near unto them. Speak to them today. May they be assured of your love, of your concern for them. Help them to trust thee in the hour of darkness. Help us each and every one to rest by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless now the word, I pray, Lord. Give me voice, I ask. Give me clarity of thought. Lord, help me to speak your truth in love. Help me, Lord, to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. May the Spirit of God take the word today, write it upon the heart, impress it upon the mind, so that faith would come. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May the word be mixed with faith this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your attention this morning to this incident, this account in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples as they seek to navigate the storm. This is a familiar story to us. We read in this chapter of the times in which Jesus ministered and how busy he was in those days. Multitudes came to him for healing. Multitudes came to him for help. The Lord Jesus was busy healing a leper. The woman with the issue of blood was healed. Many had gathered to see some miracle, to hear this one, Jesus. Jesus was so busy. And in this portion that we've been reading together, we see something not only of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, his power over even the elements of nature, but we see something of his humanity. Christ had a busy day. He was busy going about doing good. And so he seeks to retire into the boat and cross over to the other side. He gives the command to his disciples, and his disciples follow him. And as soon as they set off, it appears that after a brief period, a very short time, they had hardly set out, that Christ was asleep. Asleep, at peace, in the back of the boat. It tells me something of his true humanity. Christ rested. He was weary from his work. And he lay down to sleep. And as we consider this passage, we're brought again face to face with not only the deity of Christ, but his true humanity. Who is this man? A man not like any other man. The God-man, perfect God overall, and yet a true and perfect man. And as we read this story here about the disciples entering into the ship, we also know not only was Christ soon asleep, but we realize that soon after they set out, a storm arose. And it was an unusual storm, something that made the disciples fearful. It says in verse 24, "Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep." Christ was at perfect peace, at rest, asleep. And yet the disciples find themselves struggling in this storm. They awake the Lord. In fear, in panic, they run to Christ. They wake him and cry to him, "Lord, save us. We perish. Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" If you read the parallel passages in Mark chapter 4, verse 36 to 41, and Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25, you have some of the other details filled in. And it's good to read the parallel passages and put everything together and find out what was going on. They go to Christ, and they cry to him, "Lord, save us." He awakes. He speaks to them about this matter of faith. "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" And Luke phrases the question that Christ brought to them. He said, "Where is your faith?" Where's your faith? And I want us to consider today this question of faith. It's the whole key to this account that the Lord reveals here. Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Where is your faith? And I want us to think about navigating the storms of life by faith. You know, we see ourselves in these disciples. J.C. Ryle, the great commentator, he puts it this way. He says, "What a vivid and instructive picture we have here of the hearts of thousands of believers. How many have faith and love enough to forsake all and follow Christ, to follow Him wherever He goes, and yet are full of fears in the hour of trial? How many have grace enough to turn to Jesus in every trouble, crying, 'Lord, save us,' and yet not grace enough to lie still and believe in the darkest hour of trial, to believe that all is well?" We see ourselves in these disciples. We believe, but we have to confess, "Lord, help my unbelief." We're resting by faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And yet in the hour of the darkest trial, we find it very difficult to lie still and to know that all is well, to be still and know that He is God, that He is in control. How true is that commentary of Ryle? Our faith can be weak. We are full of infirmity. There we are. Put yourself there. There we are in the boat, and there comes a crisis of faith. A trial that presses upon us, that comes suddenly. This tempest, this wind rises up and comes down the lake and comes on them suddenly, and quickly things change. And they panic. They're alarmed. They're fearful. They don't know what to do. How many of us, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet there are times then when things change, trials come, and we're full of fear and unbelief. And I think one of the things we have to get straight and to keep in mind as we navigate the storms of life by faith is that faith will be tried. There are going to be those times of trial. We have to understand that. That's one of the first principles we should understand. James says in James 1, knowing this, you need to know this. There's going to be the trying of your faith. The trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Trust the wisdom of God. If you lack wisdom in that hour, trust in the wisdom of God. But know this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Testing approves faith. It confirms faith. It produces a patient, hopeful endurance. Peter makes it clear as well in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7. He tells us we're kept by the power of God unto salvation through faith. But there are going to be times when you are in heaviness because of manifold temptations. Trials will come. But you need to know this. The trying of your faith is for the refining of your faith, that you would be tried. It's a precious thing that is tried, that you would come forth as pure gold. And oftentimes, it is in the furnace. The longer the gold is in the furnace, the brighter it will shine. And sometimes prolonged trials are hard, but we will come forth as gold approved of God. So this passage, it really teaches us the necessity of faith as we navigate the storms of life. Faith will be tried. We will all find ourselves at some point in time, we will all find ourselves in a position like these disciples where There's a crisis of faith where faith is tried. What are we to do? How are we to navigate these storms? Well, understand your faith will be tried, but understand also that our response and our reaction in that hour of trial gives evidence to faith, whether we truly have faith or not, whether we're really resting in Christ or not. So understand, faith will be tried. But understand also that the faith of obedient disciples will be tried. These disciples were doing what the Lord wanted them to do. If you look at verse 18, look at Matthew 8, verse 18, it says, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to his disciples, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side." And then verse 23 says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him." They were obedient servants, obedient disciples. And this passage teaches us the necessity of faith even after a period of obedient service. They were only doing what the Lord told them to do. They were following the Savior. For some time, they were actively engaged all throughout these days. And that day, they were actively engaged in ministry alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. They were his helpers. They were his disciples. They were his servants. And here the command is, it says very clearly, he gave commandment to depart. He entered into the ship and they followed him. And yet they find themselves in trouble. They were following his every command and still the storm came. Sometimes we are tempted to question the purpose of God. And we reason within ourselves, well, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. I'm trying to serve faithfully. I seek to be a helper in the work of God. I endeavor to do the Master's will. I want my life to count in his service. And behold, what do I find? I find trouble. And sorrow, and storms, and heartache, discouragement, and my heart sinks, and my life is just full of crashing waves that rob me of joy and peace. Have you ever felt like that? I'm doing what God wants me to do. Why? Why all this trouble then? Why this sorrow? Why has all this come upon me? We need to keep in mind that the Christian servant is not exempt from trouble. Just because you are a servant of Christ doesn't mean you will not have trouble. The trial of faith is necessary. Your faith will be tried, the Lord said. The trial of faith will come. The trial of faith is necessary for the purifying of your faith. Indeed, if faith is not tried, then it's not of much value, you could say. True faith will be tried and tested. The trial of faith works patience. It develops greater dependence on Jesus Christ. And there's a need for faith. Even though you may be an obedient disciple of Jesus Christ, willingly serving him, willingly following him, and you're experiencing right now a time of trouble and sorrow, you need to maintain and hold on to Christ. Maintain that faith. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. You must be stayed upon the Lord when you feel like you're sinking. When the waves are coming crashing over you. When circumstances change suddenly or drastically. And you feel like there's nothing but trouble. And things do change quickly. We don't know what a day will bring. We don't know what a day will bring forth. And yet, when the outcome is still unknown to us, we must trust the Lord. Because you'll notice here, Nothing takes the Lord by surprise. Here are the disciples struggling, finding themselves overwhelmed, panicking, crying out, "We perish." There's that sinking feeling, and there's the Lord at peace, resting in his Father's will. It was his divine purpose that they be there at that particular time. He gave commandment. He said, "Let us cross over." He had a purpose in crossing over to the other side, because there he would deliver this man who was filled with demons. We were reading about the herd of swine. He had a work to do. But you notice, nothing takes the Lord by surprise. These disciples, they were there in that boat, on that lake, at that time, in that storm, by divine order. It was according to his divine plan. And it was Christ who took the initiative, commanding them to cross over to the other side. He knew the way for them. He knew what was going to take place. He knew what would happen, but he would see them through. And obedient servant, today, you're going through a time of trial right now. The storms of life are upon you. But the Lord knows. He's with you in the boat. Not only must you understand that your faith will be tried, obedient servants will be tried, mature believers will be tried. Mature believers are still a work in progress, and you know, it always comes back to this simple matter of faith in Christ. No matter how long you have been on the road, it comes down to faith in Christ alone. And I would have you see here also the necessity of faith, regardless of how experienced you may be. Obedient servants need to maintain that faith in a time of trouble. Mature believers, experienced believers, need to maintain faith in the hour of trouble. You know, we're somewhat surprised to read of their fear. These disciples had been with Christ for days. They had witnessed miracles, great things in their presence, accomplished by the power of Christ. And here we're surprised to read of their fear. They were terrified. They panic. They cry out, "We perish. Carest thou not that we perish?" And we find these experienced fishermen, they were experienced fishermen. We find them giving way to fear, losing hope in the storm. They were sore afraid. And they cry out earnestly to be saved. They were experienced fishermen. They had crossed that lake before. They had been that way many times. No doubt they encountered storms on occasion. But this was different. Was this something new in their experience as fishermen? Was a terrifying, raging storm like none other that they had ever faced before? We read of it in verse 24, a tempest in the sea. So much so that it covered the ship with waves. We read of the storm and the winds and the crashing waves. And the word there, tempest, it signifies a furious tempest, a great shaking. It's the word seismos. We get seismograph that measures earthquakes. It was a great shaking. It was a fearful tempest that came upon them. It came down the lake suddenly, and it was an unusual howling tempest moving across that lake and coming on them so that they were terrified. Their world, their boat, was shaken. It took them off guard. It was a test of faith. We have those times when things change suddenly for the worse. crisis of faith, the storms come. And there are things that will turn your world upside down. Your world is shaken. And you are like those sailors in Psalm 107. They were tossed to and fro and at wit's end. All their wisdom was swallowed up, and they didn't know what to do. Despairing, they thought, for sure, we perish. And we can be like that. All our wisdom is swallowed up. You're at wit's end. And you don't know what to do. You're overwhelmed. You're anxious. You're fearful. Such times come, and they can come suddenly. Sometimes it doesn't take much to upset our world. Sometimes it's the little things that annoy us, that frustrate us, that alarm us, that make us fearful. But friend, I want you to learn, no matter how long you've been on the road with the Lord Jesus Christ, we must always keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. And if you don't get anything else out of this sermon today, remember this one thing. It's better to be in the storm with Christ than to be on the shore of ease without Him. I'd rather be in the boat with Christ than to be struggling on my own, seeking my own sinful pleasures, not finding that peace and happiness. With Christ, the disciples would come to that place of peace. And it's always better to be in the storm with Christ than on the shore of ease without Him. And this passage teaches us very clearly the necessity of faith as you navigate the storms of life. And yet one of the things that troubles us during those times of trial is this apparent lack of concern on the part of Christ. The tempest in the sea rises up. The ship is covered with waves. But He was asleep. He was asleep. And isn't that our struggle at times in the hour of trial? This wrestling within that the Lord, He's asleep. He doesn't see what we're going through. He doesn't care. He's unconcerned. Carest Thou not that we perish, Lord? Don't you see what we're going through at this very moment? You know, it's interesting that Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great expository preacher, he said one of the elements or constituent parts of this trial of faith that we're talking about that leads to accusatory thoughts or expressions on our part, oftentimes, we accuse the Lord of not caring. We question the Lord as to why, and we question His wisdom and His way. But Lloyd-Jones says, the fact that God permits these things and that He often appears to be unconcerned about it is one of those constituent elements of the trial of faith. It's part of the trial of faith. When we think the Lord is unconcerned or at ease, asleep, He doesn't see, He doesn't know, we begin to question His ways. And I would have you also see here the necessity of faith when the physical evidence is contrary to the revealed word or the given promises of God. God gives to His people exceeding great and precious promises, Peter tells us, that we are to hold on to. They are promises. They are true. They will be fulfilled according to His word. And yet we so often doubt them in the hour of trial. And we need to maintain and to have that faith even when the physical evidence, the circumstances around us tell us that this is not going to work out as the Lord has said. That's the way we think. And if we are truthful, when you look at this passage, the great difficulty that we have with this passage is the apparent lack of concern on the part of Jesus. He appears to be unconcerned, and that bothers us. It bothers us. that Jesus is asleep while we're struggling to go through these things. We find the Lord Jesus here asleep in the ship at perfect peace, resting in the midst of the storm. What an example for us. But we know that Christ was secure in the Father's will. He was at perfect peace. He knew what the Father's purpose was. He knew he still had a work to do. This storm was not going to hinder the Father's purpose. And he had that peace. Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee," in Jehovah, "because he trusts in thee." "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." The Lord was at peace, resting in the Father's will. But we so often, we misread this display of perfect peace. We interpret it as unfeeling or as uncaring. But that is far from the case. The Lord was in complete control. Sometimes we feel like that. We feel as if God has forgotten to be gracious. He doesn't see. He doesn't know what we're going through. He doesn't care. He's unconcerned about our problems and the trials that we find ourselves in right now. And what happens? We lose faith when we get to the place where we think Jesus does not care or that he cannot do anything to help the situation. We're filled with unbelief. We lose faith when we get to the place where we think Jesus does not care or he can't do anything to help us in this situation. When we forget who he is, we lose faith. Our faith is weak. And what's the result? The result being self-reliance, leaning upon our own understanding, trying to figure it out on our own, endeavoring by ourselves to find a way. And often, the weakness of our faith is only revealed in the storm or in the furnace. In that time of trial and anxiety. But there must be this trust. There needs to be this trust when everything appears to be against us. We must still rest in our sovereign Lord, trusting through the violent storms. That's the nature of true discipleship, you know. Having a fixed heart in dark days. We were thinking last Lord's Day of Psalm 112. If you turn there, the blessings of the righteous man. And I want to point out a word here in Psalm 112. In the verse 7, it says, when you think about the righteous man, he shall not be moved. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Having a fixed heart in dark days. That's a nature of true discipleship. Faithfully following the Lord Jesus, no matter how hard the challenge, no matter how great the test, having a fixed heart, a heart that is established, a heart that is resting, a heart that is secure. When something is fixed, it is secure. It's not going to move. We rest in the Lord Jesus. We cast our anchor on the Lord Jesus Christ. And unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He's gracious and full of compassion and righteous, it tells us there in that verse 4. Trusting him where you cannot trace him. Knowing that he is behind the scenes. Behind that frowning providence, there is a smiling face. And more than that, there's a God who sits upon the throne. And yes, he has rested from his atoning work, Christ having entered into glory. But he sees from afar. And he continues that work of intercession, pleading on our behalf, praying for us that our faith fail not in the hour of temptation. And though we do not see him with the physical eye, yet having not seen him, we love him and we trust him and we're to rest in him, even where we cannot trace him or trace the outcome, if you like. When the outcome is still unknown to us, disciples trust the Lord Jesus Christ. His wisdom, his way is best. I know I've given the illustration before to some of the young people in the collegiate, how it's almost like walking up a set of stairs in the dark. You know, the dark hallway, staircase, and it's very hard to find your way. And you know you're getting near the top. You know you're getting near the last step. And you step out. You're there. But you stumble in the dark. You don't realize you're there. You're at the last step. You stumble a little. And then your foot comes onto that sure landing. That solid ground. That's what it is. To step out in faith in the darkness, trusting the Lord, coming to that sure foundation and simply resting on him. And though you stumble at times, your foot comes to rest on that solid landing. Though your faith may be weak, our faith is often weak, yet it cries to the Lord. We run to Christ for help. And what is faith? What is faith? Faith recognizes his power. In our weakness, we recognize his power. Faith in Jesus Christ refuses to panic under pressure. It's a refusal to panic. I like that. I think Lloyd-Jones said that. It's a refusal to panic under pressure because the Lord knows, says Job said in Job 23:10, he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And though their faith was weak, though they were terrified, they still knew where to go. They ran to Christ, and they awake him, and they cry to him, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? At least they had enough sense to turn to the Lord Jesus. They had, in those days, insight into his person, his being, his power. They witnessed miracles. And they knew in that hour, if anyone can help us, Christ can help us. And so they run to him. They were eyewitnesses of his majestic power and glory. And what happens? Christ speaks the word, and it is done. Just a word. He rebuked the wind and the seas. Mark tells us, he simply said, be still. Or it's like saying, hush, hush, be still. That's all he said. And it was done. And all was calm. The wind ceased. And it's interesting that those waves, they didn't continue to roll and to crash even after the wind ceased. The winds and the waves were in harmony, and there was complete calm, a rest, a quietness on that lake. Here was the one who had healed the leper, the early part of the chapter. He healed that woman who had the issue of blood, spent all her living on physicians, and she simply touched his garment and by his power was healed. He healed the centurion's servant. He would cast out devils. He raised the dead. And here now he just speaks the word. He would rebuke the wind and the seas. Be still. And Matthew tells us here, he says in verse 28, is it? 27, 26. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? He rebuked the winds. There was a great calm. A great calm. In the storm of life, we must always remember who he is. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him? And it is that belief in the Lord God Almighty that holds us up in the hour of trial. What we know to be true about the Lord God sustains us. It's a tremendous support to us as we navigate the sea of life. The revealed truth concerning the person of Christ is our support. It encourages us in the time of storm. And that faith in Christ secures his peace. There was a great calm. Great calm of soul. We were reading Psalm 107, how he brings those sailors into their desired haven of rest. And they praise the Lord for his goodness. He maketh the storm a calm. He can turn things around. He can grant to you that peace of soul in a moment. As he speaks that word, revealing his power. And you notice here there's a harmonious calm as the wind and the waves together are still. As Christ asserts his authority over the elements, all became calm. You know, the Lord Jesus only has to speak the word and all is right again. He is able to turn things around for you in a moment. He makes a way where there appears to be no way. In a moment, by a word, he commands the blessing, and things turn around for good and for his glory. And when Christ stills the storm here, he demonstrates his power. He demonstrates his authority. The Master is very powerful. These disciples would see that. What manner of man is this? And as Christ would still that storm, he was demonstrating not only his power, but his loving concern for them. He did care. They were not going to perish. They would survive. They would come through. Our Master is very loving. He does care. Sometimes you're tempted to ask, does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed? Does Jesus care? How does the hymn go? Does Jesus care when I have given my best to him and yet I find myself in trouble? Does Jesus care when your heart breaks, when you're overwhelmed? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief, and faith rests then in the revealed truth of God in Christ, the mighty Savior, who is the object of our faith, in his authority, in his might, in his power, in his love. In the storms of life, we rest in him. It's an interesting word in our bulletin last week, a hymn probably by Martin Luther. One of the lines said, when storms arise and darkening skies about me threatening lower, to thee, O Lord, I raise my eyes. To thee my tortured spirit flies for solace in that hour. I run to Christ. Where else can I go? And we are filled with reverence and awe, just like these disciples, as we recognize the power of Christ to save. And we come to the place where we confess, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And our prayer must ever be, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Here is the one who died to save us from our sin. He will not lose any, none of those for whom he died will perish, will be lost. Why do we not then exercise that same faith that rests in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin, for the salvation of our souls? Why do we not exercise that same faith? Faith is an active thing. It must be put into operation. Why do we not exercise that same faith when it comes to the daily affairs of our life, any given situation we find ourselves in? If we can trust in Christ for the salvation of our souls, can we not trust Him for the details of our life? And so this is the key. Why are ye so fearful? Mark 4 says, how is it you have no faith? Luke says, where is your faith? It's this question of faith in Jesus in the hour of storms. They had faith, but it wasn't on display. Where was it? It's not evident at this time. Where is your faith? They had faith, but it was missing in action. It was not in operation. It was not active. It was not being exercised. It must be the exercise of that faith that relies completely on Jesus Christ, recognizing His power to save and to help and to deliver. How is it you are so fearful? It's as if the Lord is saying here, how is it you're so fearful when I'm with you? How is it you're so fearful? Do you not trust me? When there is that lack of faith and that unbelief that creeps in, is it not a sign of our lack of faith and confidence in Christ? The one who is never taken by surprise, who's in complete control, and yet we doubt Him, we fear, we stumble. William Hendrickson, with this I'll close, William Hendrickson said, much that is wrong on the earth can be corrected. There are mothers who dry tears. There are repairmen who fix machines, surgeons who remove diseased tissue, counselors who solve family problems. But he says, it takes deity to change the weather. It is Jesus who commands the elements of the weather, with the result that even the winds and the waters obey Him. It takes deity to change the weather. This is the God we serve, who is over all, who is in control. How is it we can't trust Him to guide us through the storms of life? Will the one who He has chosen to be His disciple, who He's rescued from the pit of sin and corruption, will that saved sinner perish? Will He allow us to perish? Is He not with us even in the storms? May we have that obedient faith that rests in Him who is mighty to save. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts this morning. We're going to close by singing a hymn today, singing hymn number 352. And our God in heaven, we pray for the peace of Christ to fill our hearts, that peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, let us not be anxious or careful for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known unto Thee. And the peace of God, that peace that God gives, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. O Lord, we're thankful for this legacy of peace. It's a peace not like the world's peace that is temporal, fading, satisfies for a moment, but it's a peace of God. We pray today that any who are going through the storms of life, that they would know Your peace, Your presence, Your power, support them in the hour of need, and may they have that renewed hope and confidence as they rest in this word today.